on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciulello.
Cody, obviously the bulk of the show today is going to be mostly about the Big 12 tournament, but we had a basketball game on Saturday. There was all the drama before the game about the song lyrics with Keyshawn, and it was all just a whole big misunderstanding. Cyclones had no problem putting B to A as Keyshawn definitely had that belt at the end of the game. It was definitely B to A as we took it to the Wildcats 73-57 in Manhattan.
For sure. And yeah, you mentioned a lot of like the drama with Keyshawn Gilbert in the time. I think Keyshawn Gilbert's tweet, it was just poorly timed. I think that's the big thing. It was just poorly timed because it came out, what was it, right before, right after Iowa State men's basketball announced that Keyshawn Gilbert was going to be out. So his tweet is something that, like, I've seen before. Like, that's, like, kind of what he does usually. But yeah, pretty bad timing on his part. But besides that, it got cleared in the air that I think Keyshawn Gilbert, like, in a DM at on like another Twitter account, it got unveiled that it was something like personal. But I mean, the guys will listen to like Rod Wave. I mean, we've known this about the guys for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they were asked questions about like who put like gets the ox in the locker room. I mean, Keyshawn will probably have it. Curtis might have it. Milan may have it. I mean, the team probably rotates it. So yeah, but the Keyshawn Gilbert thing proved to not be too detrimental to Iowa State. As mentioned, they took care of business against Kansas State and Manhattan. And, What a good time to spoil a senior day after you get yours spoiled by BYU. Why not go to the Octagon and do McGill spoil their senior day casually?
It was great, man. Like, started just, you know, a great start off to the game. I believe that Curtis Jones was the main point getter, I believe, with like 24 points, 25 points.
Yeah, so I've got the box score here. And yeah, Curtis Jones comes off the bench. And I mean, this will add to like a brief thing we're going to talk about later with the Big 12 awards coming out. But I mean, yeah, Curtis Jones comes off the bench, puts up 24 points alongside Joshua Jefferson, had a pretty solid day, 14 points, and Deshaun Jackson with 11. This was really Curtis Jones and the Presidents. It was their day. It was their day today. They were able to really dominate in the paint, and that kind of helped Iowa State push or like kind of like keep Kansas State at an arm's length away from coming back. We did to Kansas State what Kansas State did to us, and that was just dominate in a area or another. And Kansas State, their shooting from when they came to Hilton Coliseum in February, 3-point land, did not translate. I mean, you see there, 2 for 21, vastly different from the 10 of 20 that Kansas State had in the first go around. Brennan Hawson, the big perpetrator, he went 1 of 5. Meanwhile, in Hilton, he basically couldn't miss. So, yeah, it just shows the streakiness of Kansas State. And, I mean, what a disappointing end for the Wildcats. I mean, I feel like they were very inconsistent. They were very inconsistent this year. They obviously had that six-game losing streak to begin conference play. Then you have that six-game win streak where they look like one of the best teams in the country. And then they come right back down to earth. And, yeah, just they just fell off at the end. And I mean, barring a miracle run in the Big 12 tournament, I don't see Kansas State getting into the NCAA tournament.
Not at all. That dream ended when in Provo, when they got beat by 15 against BYU, and they've been on the downturn ever since. I mean, it's a very, very peculiar and bizarre situation, to be honest with you, because it's just like, it's been like this since the second half of last year. If you remember last year coming into that infamous game at Hilton, they were in the top 20, and then they just have been in a complete nosedive since the second half of last year, and they've been on a total collapse. So something has got to be done. I don't know. And I think Jerome Tang's buyout is pretty high. So I think they're still going to keep him. But, like, that is not a good situation in Manhattan right now.
Yeah. And speaking of when you mentioned the video of Keyshawn with the belt ass, shout out to Jeff Dubois from KCCI for catching this video. I mean, I saw a meet where, like, look how nonchalant the team was here, and then you just see Keyshawn Gilbert. Like, he had a really fun time. He had a really fun time there. Yeah, so shout out Jeff Dubois for that. And did you see the, I don't know if you saw the meme where it was like, it was outside the lines with their tweet. You saw like the contrast between the celebration that Kansas State had after they beat us versus our celebration. That caused a bit of a stir, but I mean.
I was a part of that stir. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were not, a lot of K-State fans were pretty triggered about that celebration. Like, well, you think we beat a top three team? Well, it's like, you remember, what was it, when Kansas State beat Kansas, I believe it was last year, or it was the Tang's first year, and he was like, you had one court storm, and then, like, from here on out, expect to win these games? I feel like that message kind of got lost, and I feel like that should have been the case, even if outside of road games. It's like, you should expect to win these games. Like, I think that message kind of got lost, and it clearly showed. So,
yeah, it's just been a complete disaster. And we'll see.
Yeah, real quick. Another thing that happened in this game, shout out to Jason Canander of WIBW Sports for capturing this highlight right here. Now, this was a stirring point, I believe, in Williams and Bloom, but Nate Heisey, what a time. Like, what a development he's had in that celebration right there.
I love it.
It's the technical. Now, I was watching Williams and Bloom yesterday, and Chris Williams was pretty pissed off about the tee call. Wait, like, what's your take? Should that have been a technical?
No, that was soft, dude. You can't. These players are not robots. Like, are we going to become like the NFL before when it was like the no fun league and you were penalizing every single celebration? Nah, man. These kids have emotion. Let them. Obviously, you know, within reason. Like, you don't want it to be like the Wild Wild West or WWE, but like, I think like we got to let these kids have emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes college basketball fun.
And then eventually, I think a Kansas State player, I don't remember who it was, slammed like a table that was like with some bystanders, and then that Kansas State player got a technical from that as well. So
yeah, that was David Gasson.
David Gasson, okay.
Yeah, David Gasson, yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, I think the officiating, maybe having a more experienced crew, because I believe that crew, I think the ref that called the technical on Nate Heisey, that was only his second Big 12 game. So I think if you had a veteran crew of the Big 12, like, of the Big 12, then maybe, like, Nate Heisey would have just gotten more, like, a word from the ref, not a technical, but just, like, a word of, like, hey, don't do that again, or, like, do it to somebody else. Because, I mean, he did do it in front of the bench, but, I mean, to be fair, Kansas State and Jerome Tang was asking for a technical. Like, he was trying to do what TJ did to fire up his team and get a technical. That clearly did not work. And then I think I made a tweet or something saying, like, there's always something nice about having, like, a shit talking role playing white boy on your team. And that's what that's what you need. I feel like that's what was missing, is that swagger to an extent, and I think Nate Heisey's really bringing that type of energy, and I think you kind of need that in your team. You just need a guy to really get into the opponent's head and let everybody else and yourself gameplay do the talking. But it's fun to see a guy just have like that sense of just like brashness, and I think it was a jolt really needed. It's just kind of like the Christian Laettner prototype of basketball players at Duke.
No, definitely, man. You always want to have, like you said, it's a great point. You always want to have that one player that is like a spark plug. So sort of like a, like, at least if we're gonna go back to my era, like an Aaron Kraft. Like, I can never stand him. He had the most punchable face. Because the funny thing is, like, me and Eric had the same conversation, like, right before when I was on my way home. to record. Like, we were just talking about this, and he said the exact same thing about the Nate Heisey comparison. So that was just pretty funny to me that we brought it up here. But, like, I mean, yeah, anytime when you exude confidence, like, I like, just keep doing what you're doing. And, like, this could, hey, like, it's going to go into what we're going to talk about now. Obviously, you know, we're going to put that in the rearview mirror. We're going to talk about this Big 12 tournament.
So,
anything you want to add before the end?
No, I think we're good to go. I'm ready to talk about the Big 12 tournament. And then if you're watching on Twitter or YouTube, you can check out the, you can see the bracket right here. So Houston is the number one overall seed. Texas Tech is the number two. Arizona 3, BYU 4, Iowa State 5, and you just trickle down from there all the way to 16, which is Colorado. Now, is this a favorable draw for Iowa State?
Well, if you look at it, it depends on how you look at it. From a revenge point of view, yes. Especially if you look at, you know, a Cincinnati team or Oklahoma State team, because really, if you look at an Oklahoma State team, like, and they win, it's sort of a revenge tour. And the way Iowa State will look at that, it's going to be like, man, we had no business losing to this team. Let's beat these jokers. So, you know, doing that, and then BYU, that loss is fresh in their minds. We should have never went to overtime with them. We should have had that game won that had that Jefferson sack go in near the end of regulation. We would have won that game. And then, you know, Houston, that we've had different situations to where we feel like we were wronged. Like, Houston game, two of our best players were out, and we only lost by single digits to them. So I feel like it's setting up to be a possible revenge tour for the Cyclones, and maybe they could see themselves being in Saturday night's game. What do you think?
I think from that standpoint, I would have to agree, because, I mean, I think when it comes to a team that, like, beat you and you want to beat them, I think that gives you, like, that extra bit of extra chip in your shoulder, that extra little bit of motivation, because you knew you should have had Oklahoma State and BYU beaten, yet you put yourselves in such a hole that was too deep to dig out of. And then with Houston, you knew you could play, like, you were right there with Houston. Like, without your two best scores, you were right there. So I think Iowa State's going to come in with, like, they should have, like, that extra level of motivation. I think that's what can help fuel them to a run in Kansas City and perhaps still fight for a two seed, depending on how things go. But looking at the other side of the bracket, I mean, he's mad. Like, I guess maybe not looking at the overall bracket, who is prone to being upset early? Who's prone to go home early?
Let's see. Definitely Kansas. I could also see Arizona too, mainly because Arizona has never been in a climate like this. Because even in the Pac-12 tournaments, like, they never had that much passion. But, like, something like this, I don't know if they're ready for this. Like, I mean, this is something, like, they had to adjust to a Big 12 schedule, and they were, what, 3-5 to end the season? So they had all their tough games. So for me, my answer is going to be Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Arizona's, like, stretch. I mean, the Kansas game, that game just happened. Mm-hmm. And you're basically in Kansas and Iowa State's backyard. So the fact that you're you may have to deal with Kansas again when you just lost to them at Allen Fieldhouse, that is not setting up good for Arizona. And yeah, they've been in a slump here the last few weeks, and I don't know if I can really trust them. Like, I mean, you know, somebody who could make a run here would be Texas Tech. I think this is a good draw for Texas Tech.
It depends what their mindset is going in, because Texas Tech usually has a knack to, like you saw it last year. Like, they were pretty good last year, but last year they sort of, like, crapped out. But that was because they also had to play Houston. So, like, they got to – and I watched that game. They got absolutely demolished by Houston. But, right. like – I could totally see Tech making a run. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but a dark horse team that I could see if they can put it all together is Kansas. I think if Kansas can find just something, a little bit of a spark, because they fully haven't given up on Bill Self, I think we could possibly see them on Saturday night. I mean, for me, I think KU, if they can pull it together, can do it. And then another team probably that could be primed, I could also see, is maybe a team like a West Virginia, something like that, or maybe a Baylor. And of course BYU. But, like, this is assuming BYU beats Iowa State on Thursday.
Yeah. BYU is, like, the hottest team in the country, so... Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that they could win this game, but if what happened to them last year happens this year where they get cold, it spells doom for BYU. And I mean, BYU kind of has the same formula as last year where it's like a lot of three, like the way they run their offense, it feels a little similar, especially with the three-pointers that they're shooting. If those don't fall in, then it spells danger for them. But I mean, I guess your early prediction, like early prediction for this, tournament is who's going to win the tournament and who's going to be the MVP.
Ooh, okay. Let's see. You know what? My pick is going to be Texas Tech, and I think the winner is going to, the MVP is going to be JT Toppin. Dude has been amazing all year, and he's probably going to win Big 12 Player of the Year. It's either going to be between him or LJ Cryer, who was my pick for Big 12 Player of the Year, but he's JT Toppin is definitely going to be in the running, but that's my pick for the tournament.
Yeah. I think the conventional choice would have to be Houston, and I mean, mm-hmm. it makes sense, and it would have to be LJ Cryer. Just with the way that he's really stepped up in the absence of Jamal Shedd. I mean, Houston, and I mean, if they see Iowa State, maybe Houston would feel that sense of, last time we met in Kansas City, they beat our asses. It's our turn to beat their ass and go win the championship. I really wish the bracket would have fallen in a way where Iowa State and Houston would have been in the championship round, but I mean, things didn't fall for Iowa State's favor, so that's unfortunate, but it will be a nice semifinal, and I mean, maybe whoever comes out of the Iowa State, Houston, BYU side of the bracket may win the tournament. I think out of like the two sides of the bracket, I think whoever comes out of the Houston side of the bracket is going to be who wins in Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because like for ours, like I mean, we would be battle testing, and it'd be the most amazing like revenge tour of all time, but like we also got to remember that there's bigger things that play for us. Like obviously if you've listened to all the other shows, it's been the debate of rest versus momentum. I mean, for me, you know, and where I'm gonna ask you after this, for me, I feel like you gotta have momentum. And obviously, for me, the way this thing goes down, I think that we win the first two games and eventually we fall to Houston. I mean, and even with that, like, that's only going to be, even if we're making the championship, that's only one day difference in rest. And, like, by that point, you'll have, you know, the way the committee will look at it, they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, you won two games and then you lost a hard fought one to Houston. Like, there's no shame in losing to Houston again, especially if it's like single digits. And you'll have like 5-6 days to prepare, you know, for like a 14 seed. So like, it's nothing that's mismanageable. So like, I think when you look at it from that point of view, like you want to be playing your best basketball, and by the time you're going in, and we'll have a 3-game winning streak by that point, in that hypothetical situation.
Yeah, I think I'm on the side of getting momentum, because I think the big thing for Iowa State is, like, throughout, like, the second half of the year, the reason why I think I see a lot of Iowa State struggles on offense, just because the guys on the court, like, it always changes, like, who's on the court, whether it's, like, injury, sickness. I think the starters have just never had enough time to really gel together and play, like, as a unit. So I think in Kansas City, it's a great opportunity to get more reps for our starters and for our team as a whole. So I think ideally you want momentum, you want to play these guys. Like, and I mean, the Houston game, you lose that one. It's unfortunate, but you lost to Houston by single digits. Not bad of a loss. But if you do beat Houston, why not go and just win the championship? Why not do that?
Yeah, no, like that's when my mindset changes. It's just like, if you go and beat Houston, you need to go win the whole thing now. Like, you made it this far, you might as well go win the whole daggone thing.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, like, it's just like, really, like, because we're going to be the first game the first 2 days, but just doing what we do, crashing the boards, and then, you know, defending. And one thing I think, you know, one thing that TJ is good at when we do play a team again is being good at making adjustments. That's why I think, like, the BYU game will go a whole lot differently when we get a chance to play them again mm-hmm. on Thursday.
Yep.
So, you know, really, ideally, I would love a revenge tour. Like, I want to play BYU again. I want to play Oklahoma State again. Just like mm-hmm. that's how I want it to go.
Me too. Me too. We alluded to this a little earlier in the show, but I'm going to show you some of the Big 12 awards that came out a couple hours ago. Yeah, so your Big 12 Player of the Year is JT Toppin of Texas Tech. No surprise there. I mean, he was an absolute beast. Like, he gave us everything. Like, when we visited Lubbock, he gave us everything he had. And, I mean, I'm glad. Honestly, this win aged so well for Iowa State.
It sure did. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we have that win in Lubbock over, like, the Player of the Year and one of the best teams in the country. And they're fighting for a 2 seed. So, I mean, yeah, but JT Toppin just, I mean, basically, if you told me no context that, like, he was related to Obi Toppin, I would have believed you.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he was playing.
Isn't he related to Obi Toppin?
No, he's not. He's not related to Obi Toppin, but, but, I mean, it's fair to say, if you say that no context to anybody, they probably would believe that he is related to Obi Toppin.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
All right, Defensive Player of the Year, Joseph Togler from Houston. I mean, he's a great rim protector. Like, I'm not surprised he won this, because the way he protects the rim is just beautiful. And that's kind of what you want out of your big.
I also think because he was injured last year, so I think he might have been the missing piece, as well as, you know, with bad injury, like with Jamal Shedd last year, and in the Sweet 16 against
Duke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I think he was would have been the missing piece, and I think that they definitely would have beaten Purdue in the national championship game.
Or at least the
Final Four.
I think a Houston versus UConn national championship might have gone a little bit different than what we got with UConn Purdue, but I mean, who knows? But yeah, we'll I think know. if there's a good year for Houston to win the national championship, it's this one. This is the year.
Definitely. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Houston also continues to rack up another awards with a Scholar Athlete of the Year. So LJ Cryer getting it done on the court and in the classroom. So props to him. I mean,
he's a smart cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, your performance in the classroom kind of like shows like what you do on the court, because obviously at the end of the day, these guys are all student athletes. So, I mean, yes, they're getting paid a lot of money to play basketball, but I mean, they're still students at the end of the day. So put that dedication in is a different level. So shout out to LJ Cryer.
Right, and you got to have something to fall back on if you don't make it pro in sports.
Yep. Big 12 Freshman of the Year goes to Vijay Edgecombe of Baylor. I mean, that poster, the first day of college basketball, when I saw that poster, I'm like, okay, this guy's going to be a good freshman. God. He killed, Mark Few's kid?
Because they got the... Was it them that got destroyed by Gonzaga, or did Gonzaga destroy them?
Yeah, Gonzaga blew the doors off of Baylor, but Baylor had that highlight to fall on him. But other than that, that was insane. Jeez, that for that being the first thing, like first day of basketball, and for how late it was, I genuinely could not sleep after that because somehow that woke me. That single play woke me up and kept me up for a couple hours.
You're like, I still can't believe that. Mm-hmm. and like I think he like his play definitely impressed me. Like when they came to Hilton, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. this Edgecombe guy's pretty good. He's been mm-hmm. pretty consistent throughout conference play too.
Yeah. I think it's just the fact, like, unfortunately, Baylor, like, didn't have many highlights this year just because of their inconsistencies, but BJ Edgecombe was a constant for them, so who knows, maybe BJ Edgecombe can produce and maybe get some production from Roach and Nunn that mm-hmm. maybe Baylor could do, like, some damage in Kansas City, but moving on to newcomer of the year, JT Toppin gets another award from the Big 12, so he gets player and newcomer of the year, and I am not surprised by this, just the way he went scorched earth in the conference.
Yeah, he was insane this year, man. They're going to be a tough out in the NCAA tournament, especially mm-hmm. they're primed to make a deep run.
For sure. And finally, no surprise. There's no surprise with this one. Curtis Jones. Honestly, is there any debate onto who would have been the sixth man of the year in the conference?
I mean, when he was named National Sixth Man of the Year, like he should have known that he was going to win Big 12 Sixth Man. There is nobody better than Curtis Jones. And like the fact, I don't think I've ever seen like a sixth man lead a team in scoring. Like that's absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And then, I think, most improved player of the year goes to Richie Saunders of BYU. Man, Richie Saunders. What a year he had. Like, wow.
Yeah, man. He took a huge step from last year. He was a role player, but he's become one of the main bucket getters for BYU this year. And BYU mm-hmm. has had a hell of a season and ended the year with an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a team you wouldn't really want to face in March, so watch out. And then finally, Coach of the Year goes to Calvin Sampson of Houston. I'm not surprised with this one. I mean, you had a couple people, I'd say. You could make a case for, like, Grant McCaslin of Texas Tech. I think some in the fan base had TJ at one point, but I think it's no surprise that Kelvin Sampson gets Coach of the Year, just with the way they ran through the Big 12, going undefeated on the road, 19-1 in conference play. Just a testament to Kelvin Sampson and the coaching staff at Houston.
I mean, you just said it right there, 19-1, a 95% win percentage in a 20-game conference season. That is insane. And, like, I mean, Houston just came in and just taken over the Big 12 for the last 2 years, dude. So, like, mm-hmm. it's a miraculous job. Now, let's see if they can follow that, maybe make a deep run to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. And then we have some Cyclone Awards here to go through real quick. Just to weave this in. Keyshawn Gilbert earns a All Big 12 third team selection. He joins Taman Lipsey for the All Big 12 third team. And also, Taman Lipsey also earns All Defensive Team. Honestly, I think there was, like, if it wasn't Joseph Tugler that won Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, Taman Lipsey had a case. It should have been
Taman Lipsey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not mad about the Tugler pick, but Taman Lipsey had a lot. He had a major case for it. Joshua Jefferson earns All Big 12 second team and All Newcomer team. Mr. Do-It-All. Yeah, Joshua Jefferson did just about anything you asked him to do. Get a bucket, get rebounds, get a steal. He did just about everything.
No, yeah, he did, man. And he's reaped the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Cujo, All Big 12 first team. Look at that. How do you feel about mm-hmm. that?
I think that it's crazy how a sixth man became a member of the first team. That is crazy. And just a lot of other things. I would have to look up the Big 12. What was it? All Big 12 team or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to find that because I'm curious. Like, because I think I saw a tweet about it. But yeah. I would need to see, like, everything else because I know for sure there were a lot of Okay, so this is from Heartland College Sports. I love this page. I love what they do, and they do a great job covering the Big 12. So shout out to Heartland College Sports for putting this together. But here is your all Big 12 first, second, and third teams in honorable mentions.
Notre Dame, solid player. Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue about the Big 12 first team. Javon Small, Cujo, Jawan Roberts was phenomenal this year. Mm-hmm. Caleb Love was, I mean, he was on and off, but I guess for the most part, he's good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The one player that I know Iowa State fans did not like being on here was Hunter Dickinson. I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Cyclone Twitter users, and they were not happy about Hunter Dickinson being all Big 12 first team.
It's because you got to have one KU player on there. You know that.
Yeah. you got to meet the KU quota.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at the second team, PJ Edgecombe. Keyshawn Hall for UCF. I like this. Keyshawn Hall for UCF. He was a bright spot for how bad that team was. Keyshawn Hall did himself some numbers. He put up numbers alongside Milos Uzan for Houston and Chance McMillan of Texas Tech. The third team, you had Joseph Tugler, Zeke Mayo for Kansas, Coleman Hawkins for Kansas State. And then you had some honorable mentions with Arizona's Toby Awaka and Henry Vassar, Baylor, mm-hmm. Robert Wright, Igor Dimon for BYU, Darius Johnson for UCF. Our boy Jizzle James for Cincinnati.
Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw, I think Cincinnati, they're a very talented team. They just haven't really been able to put it together, but they do have a pretty talented team. That's what I'll say. I think that's what it is with Cincinnati. They're very talented players, but they just haven't been able to put it together this year. Yeah. Julian Hammond III was a bright spot for Colorado. Emmanuel Sharp provided good minutes and stats for Houston. DeJuan Harris Jr. for Kansas. David Gasan for Kansas State. Bryce Thompson for Oklahoma State. Noah Reynolds for TCU. Ernest Uday also for TCU. And then Gabe Madsen for Utah. And then a couple more of you have your all defensive, all freshman, all newcomer team. So anything stands out to you here?
Let's see. Definitely, I will say, Jaden Quaintance, he emerged as soon as Freeman left. Like, he even in the game, he impressed me when he played us, when Cujo went off for, 33 points in the game.
For sure.
Definitely impressed me in that game. And then Norchad O'Meara. He's been a solid player for Baylor. Obviously, it hasn't been working out for them, but I think he can, if he stays, he can end up being a nice player.
Mm-hmm. I do. I really like Christian Anderson from Texas Tech.
Yeah, dude is a baller.
Mm-hmm. We saw it firsthand when he basically couldn't miss from three.
It was insane. Is that the guy from Germany, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Christian Anderson. So I think somebody in the Cyclone Twitterverse was compared him to Dennis Schroeder.
I mean, it would be an accurate comparison. They're both German.
That's great. I mean, oh my God. That would be, yeah. So, awards and, I mean, the tournament coming up. So, what a regular season this was. At the highs and lows for Iowa State. But now all your focus is to Kansas City and into March. And I want to take a look at Jerry Prohm's bracketology because it came out this morning, yes. And I just wanted to get your take on the bracket here. I'll take a look at Joe Lenardi's, but But your first four is San Diego State, Baylor, Xavier, Boise State, Southern U, Quinnipiac, American, and SIUE. I believe SIUE got the auto bid for their conference. Remember, what's the name of their conference?
They are in the. Hold on. Let me look.
All right. Hold on. Let me see if I can actually take a look at this here.
SIU Edwards.
Ohio Valley.
But yeah, the Ohio Valley Conference. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, do any of these teams, I guess on the first four and then the bubble, before we look at the main bracket itself, anything on the bubble that stands out to you?
The only team that I could really, really see making a run, and I can't believe I'm really, really, like, believe I'm saying this, but something is speaking to me about North Carolina, man. Like, it's just, there's always that one blue blood that didn't have, like, a season that they expected, so they go on a run, and they make a run, and they somehow end up in the Final Four. I think North Carolina can be that team this year.
I wonder if this, like, kind of parallels, like, their year, the RJ Davis and Caleb Love year where they went to the national championship. Is there some parallels to that, would you say?
I think they were probably better in quad one, but, like, I would say yes, because if they can string some wins together, keyword if, because they lost to some very bad teams in the ACC this year. But if they, it's all about getting hot at the right time. But if they can do that and become a bid stealer and beat Duke, I think that could be the recipe.
I mean, we saw with NC State last year with the legend of DJ Burns, where NC State went on their run in the ACC tournament, was a bid stealer in the ACC, and then they went to the Final Four. So I think North Carolina is a much more talented team, but if they saw what NC State did, what NC State had compared to North Carolina, I think North Carolina has that belief that they can go on a run, and it's just a matter of putting it together. But I'm pretty interested in seeing what Indiana does, given their situation with Mike Woodson, and then Arkansas with John Calipari.
Yeah, I mean, they have a game at South Carolina, against South Carolina on Wednesday. So,
yeah.
I mean, they have opportunity to improve.
Yep. All right, so that's the bubble, and we took a look at the first four, and now we're going to take a look at the first round here from the South and the East region, this region for Iowa State.
Okay, let's see, let's look. Man, this thing is loaded. Okay, so we have Clemson, McNeese, Oregon, and Akron, Memphis. I don't understand why Oklahoma is in the tournament, man. Like, they were horrible during conference play. Like, I get they're surging, but, like, I don't know. I don't agree with that.
I think it's just the start that they had with, like, with their non-con and how they were coasting through that. I think that kind of weighs that's what's really propping them. That's what's basically keeping them afloat. Because, like, I remember at one point they were ranked inside the top 20.
That is true. Conference play. I do remember that, yeah.
So that kind of helps them, I guess. And, I mean, they did rattle off a couple of big wins. I think they have that win over Kentucky in Norman. So I think that weighs a bit. I mean, if you take a look at Oklahoma's resume. Yeah, I mean, they're 6-10 in quad one. All right, I can't pull it up the schedule. But anyways, yeah, they had a couple of key wins that really kept them in the tournament as like a bye. So that's probably where they fall. But Michigan State moving up to a 2 seed. Don't ever bet against Tom Izzo in March.
But look at the 7-10 matchup. Louisville Vanderbilt would be amazing, and then I mean, imagine if Vandy pulls off the upset, and then they play Michigan State and Cleveland. Man, look at that! And then I mean, look at us, like us having a possible rematch with Tyrese Hunter in his home state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Somehow, some way, we always end up playing an old friend of ours. I think I saw one of the, I don't know if it was the Lenardi bracketology. I might go take a look at that. But I think they had us, like, possibly match up against Mizzou. I think there was at one point where Iowa State was matched up against Mizzou. Iowa State was against Caleb Grill. But, I mean, this region is pretty good for Iowa State. I truly believe it. Like, this is a nice region for Iowa State. they can get it going, then they don't have to worry about Auburn until the Elite Eight.
Until the Elite Eight, yeah. I mean, we'll have to get past Michigan State. The good thing about Michigan State is Michigan State can't shoot the three. But they do have some nice bigs and stuff that can shoot. So that would be interesting. Coaching matchup against Tom Izzo.
Yeah, Jeremy Fears. I was watching that Michigan State-Michigan game yesterday. Boy, I mean, they were lighting it up. So I feel like I wonder if that's like a one-off because it was like all the pompous circumstance, they just put it together. Mm-hmm. Or is that going to be the start of like a bigger trend? So we'll have to keep an eye on Michigan State and their shooting. If they find that three-point shooting, it's going to be a little more difficult for Iowa State. But if that was a one-off and Michigan State's not able to connect on the three-point shots, then Iowa State can win that Sweet 16 matchup and then more than likely face Auburn again in the Elite Eight.
That's really the key. I just want to, if we are in this region, I want to get to the Elite Eight and play Auburn again. I want another shot at them. Let's look at this East bracket. Are there any matchups, hypothetical matchups here that stand out to you?
Ooh, BYU at Alabama.
That's 7-2 in the second round. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of points will be scored in that game because neither of them. I mean, BYU can sort of defend, but like Alabama can't defend at all. And both of them shoot the three pretty well. So if BYU is on, then they can keep up with Bama. But that's the key word, if, with BYU.
Yeah. And then they'll have to try to keep up with St. John's. And I mean, yeah, that was St. John's is one of the teams I do not want to face, at least until the final. So the way they play ball, look out.
Yeah.
Imagine a matchup between St. John's and Duke to go to the Final Four.
I mean, that could probably be a matchup, and that's in Newark, and that basically would be a home game for St. John's. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of Duke fans on the East Coast anyway, but it would probably be half and half. So that one is going to be an interesting region. Let's look at the West region.
Yeah, Florida is your number one seed. They go up against 16 Omaha. Now, Omaha in the Summit League, they played St. Thomas of Minnesota, but because of St. Thomas not being eligible to go to the NCAA tournament because they just transitioned into the Division I level, Omaha got the bid before the game was played. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know about that rule.
A stupid rule that you had to wait like 4 or 5 years. That's so dumb. Like, for real, we need to get away with that rule. Mm-hmm. A possible, like, that 1-8 matchup, St. Mary's, that could be trouble for Florida. But, I mean,
what?
Tech is in this bracket. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can you imagine a Florida-Texas Tech Elite Eight matchup? That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, and then Drake is in this bracket too. Drake just came. Congratulations to your Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah,
who won Arch Madness? I forgot to bring that up.
Yeah,
but yeah,
They left no doubt. All the people talking about like, will Drake make the bracket as an at-large? No need to talk about it now. They just won the Valley. There's no question. Like Drake should have been. I feel like even if they didn't win
mm-hmm.
the Arch Madness, I still think they would have gone in as an at-large. There's no reason that they shouldn't have been considered for an at-large bid. But that doesn't matter. They got the automatic bid. They go up against Ole Miss, and with the way Drake plays basketball, they're very slow, like tempo, like they are meticulous. They wear you out. Mm-hmm. I think they can spell danger for the teams in their pod. Purdue, I'm not too high on Purdue.
I think this year.
Yeah. I think this is the year where Drake can go to the Sweet 16. If this is their region, they can go to the Sweet 16.
I mean, dare I say that they might have a chance at the Elite Eight? I think if the right matchups go, like I think they're a much better team. I think they shoot better too than last year's team because last year's team was cold. Because I know. That there was an inkling in their mind. They're like, man, we want to play Iowa State.
Bennett Sturts. My God, Bennett Sturts is so good. He is so good for us.
That's why I'm saying watch out for Drake. I can see that they could definitely see them. I can see them making a Cinderella run.
Mm-hmm. Get your dress shirts and your blue ties ready to go. Because I'm thinking Drake, they're going to the Sweet 16. And if I think if St. Mary's can upset Florida, Drake has a chance to go to the Elite Eight. Call me crazy. Call me crazy.
I see it, man. I see it. All right, let's look at the Midwest bracket. Is there anything in this bracket or any team that stands out to you in this?
It feels like there's going to be two battles of mid going on here with Kansas, Indiana, and if Kansas wins that one, Kansas, Arizona. Dear God.
Man. I mean, so, and then by that time, it'll be like 3 weeks since they played.
Yeah.
Man. Do you have a seed five or under that you think can make a run in this bracket?
In this one? Honestly, I just think Houston's like too good for everybody. Like, I think Houston is they're a whole tier above everyone else in this bracket. I just think Tennessee, what I saw for them against South Carolina with the way they couldn't make free throws and with the way they may be inconsistent on offense, I don't know if Tennessee may have the firepower to keep up with a Houston.
Do you think that, because there are some people that think that the same thing can happen again to Houston, but the only problem is that, like, I think Houston is a better team offensively than what they were last year. Like, with Houston before, all you had to worry about was like, you know what, okay, we just got to figure out this defense and then that's to force them to score. Basically, like the first two years.
Yep.
So I think for me, Houston is a much more complete team, and I just see Houston rolling through this bracket. Like honestly, if we're looking at who has the easiest road, I'll say the West. I think Florida is going to just run through, have a easy run to the Final Four.
I think Houston, and I mean, if Texas Tech beats Florida, who knows? I think Houston in this bracket, they have the easiest path to go into the Final Four.
I think Auburn. Auburn has a hard look at this. Look at who you have it. Like the South bracket is going to be insane, bro.
Yeah, if this holds up.
If this holds up, yeah. You have Clemson, who's been pretty good. UConn, who, like, they're the two-time defending national champs. So you'd have to play them in the round of 32. And then you have Iowa State, like a team who's been top 10 most of the year. Like, Louisville's been good. Vanderbilt, who's solid. Michigan State, who won the Big Ten regular season title. So, like, I mean, that's going to be a hell for Auburn.
And I mean, with the way Auburn like kind of struggled, if like I remember last year they got upset from Yale, and that was because because I believe Chad Baker-Mazzara was ejected from that game, or Chad Baker-Mazzara had something to do with the outcome of the Yale game.
Yeah,
was Chad Baker-Mazzara ejected for a flagrant foul against Yale?
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah, because we saw what happened when he got ejected from the game against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You lost like that piece. And, I mean, Alabama took it to you. And, again, Alabama's very talented, but still, like, Alabama or Auburn has taken a couple losses here recently. So they might have fallen a little bit. I think they're still a one seed, but they're not the number one. I don't think right now they're the number one overall. And I'm just looking at it from, like, a metric standpoint because people are saying Duke, which I get. Duke is, like, they get really propped up because, like, they're beating the shit out of a weak ACC conference. But it's still a weak ACC conference. So I'd say my order for the one seats in this scenario would have to be, I guess I could still put Auburn up as number one overall. Houston would be the number two. Duke 3, Florida 4. That would be like my number one overall. Like number one seats. But I'm going to just jump around because basically we're just reviewing a lot of March things here. So this is still Lenardi's bracketology. So kind of a similar bubble here, but you have Ohio State in it. Xavier's in the bubble as well. And let's see here. The South region, some changes. Lenardi has Drake as an 11 seed.
Wow. Okay. A seed higher.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Michigan State as your 2 seed. Marquette gets the automatic saying projecting Marquette winning the Big East. Interesting.
Interesting.
Huh. Okay.
I have St. John's winning both.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think they won the regular season, so why not go for the tournament as well?
Right.
He has Memphis down two spots. Kentucky's a three. Duke. Okay, so our region, so we're in the East region, and
again.
Yep, and we're still in Milwaukee, so that's great. But taking a look here, you have Iowa State against Northern Colorado. Iowa State against Michigan. That could be an interesting round of 32.
That would be an interesting round of 32, and man, a Sweet 16 matchup with Tennessee. That would be an interesting clash of styles right there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Real quick here, Florida and Houston are your one seats here. Arizona's a five.
Let's see. Tech is in this bracket. A&M.
Maryland.
So my wild card team in the West is Illinois, because Illinois has been, like, they're young, but they're figuring it out right now. So watch for the Illini.
And I think they're healthy. I think they're finally, yeah, they're healthy again, because I remember they went through the stretch where the whole team was almost sick.
Yeah.
So I think that they're healthy.
Yeah, Jasper Jakubonis, I think, is back. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Watch for them to make a run. Six. Yeah, maybe a Sweet 16 matchup, maybe with Texas Tech. Who knows? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, March is here. I'm here for it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to just sit on my couch, put on multiple monitors, and just sit all day, watch basketball.
That's going to be me the first Thursday. Hopefully, I'm hoping that it's Friday, Sunday, so I can get up to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be heading down to Kansas City Wednesday afternoon after work. All right, nice. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully we can be in Hilton South for at least a few days so I can fully enjoy my time there.
For sure.
Yeah. So with that being said, I just want to thank everybody for listening and watching the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We got a few shameless plugs to do before the end of the show. So we are a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa. We're nominated by FeedSpot. So thank you guys. Thank you, state of Iowa, everyone around the world that listens and watches this podcast. We really appreciate that. Also, if you guys want to find us on Twitter, my Twitter handle, Tyler, is at SciTieGuy. I'll chop it up with you. So there I am. Cody, the guy right here, he is at Matt Campbell Impersonator. Don't mess with him. He'll beat you up. and also, if you want to see more... Oh. My bad. If you want to see more and follow with what's going on with Believe in Iowa State, follow us on social media. How do you spell Believe? B-L-E-A-V. Believe. So here are our different pages. Twitter or X, however you want to call it. YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. So thank you guys for joining us. And for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vancilello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.